Good morning.
Good morning.
Preach in Jesus' name. Let's turn for our first scripture verse to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I'd like us to look at that little phrase towards the end of verse 19, where it says, you are not your own. Let's pray. Father, we want to come before you this morning. We want to ask that you would be at work in our hearts, Lord. Help us to learn from your word. Help us to be taught by you, to grow. Help us to walk through the things that aren't easy. Help us to learn and to just be changed more and more into your image. Help us to recognize our place. Help us to recognize who we are, that we were bought by you. We just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So a few weeks ago on the work day, I asked a question, which I am prone to do. I said, what doesn't get preached on enough? And nobody really wanted to answer that question. But eventually Kenneth did, and he said possessions. Talked about that for a little bit there, and we talked and had a few conversations. I thought let's think about that a little bit. And so it didn't quite get right to the word he used, but I think a very related word, and I think a word that'll help us a lot in regard to our possessions, is the word stewardship. I read this verse here from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, because it basically says, it says, you are not your own, you were bought with a price. And I thought to myself, well, if our body, if our whole person isn't our own, well, none of our stuff is our own for sure anyway, right? I mean, we can be a lot looser with our stuff than we are with our own person. And Paul tries to get across the idea that because we've been bought back by the blood of Christ, because we've been purchased at Calvary, our lives aren't our own. We were bought with a price, expensive price, the blood of Christ. And so I'd like to look at a couple of scripture passages. Just turn to Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to look at the parable of a few stewards there. Verse 14 of Matthew 25, we'll read for a section here. Verse 14 says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you have delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He who had received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents, and look, I gained two more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here what you have is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back mine own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant out into outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. 3 men, they didn't have equal resources. They were given different amounts. But were any of them given zero? No, none of them were given zero. Everyone had something to use. And I want to think about a little bit about what assets or what are under your stewardship. God calls you to be a steward, and you think, well, maybe I don't have anything. Well, I think you might be surprised. You know, think about some of your physical things, you know, your vehicle or your real estate or business, or maybe your toys or boat or snowmobile, your money, your investments, your time. Everybody has the same amount of that in a day. Your gifts. Each of you has spiritual gifts if you're born again. The relationships that you have. Each of you has those. Your physical health, you know. God's given that. Your body, your purity. Like, those are all under your possession. And every one of those things, God calls you to be responsible, to be a steward for. Think of a few examples of stewards in the Bible. Abraham had a servant, Eliezer, and Eliezer went to find a wife for Isaac, and he went looking out for his master's best interest. He was concerned about not his own happiness, not his own pleasure. He was concerned about finding the right bride for his father's son, or for his master's son. Think about Joseph. Joseph as a slave in Egypt was serving Potiphar, and eventually he served so well that Potiphar basically put him over the whole household, and it basically said Potiphar didn't hardly know what was going on except he got something, except when it came to getting something to eat or whatever. Daniel came from out of a tough situation. He was a young man in a country that was being judged for their sin, so he got carried away captive to Babylon, and yet he's faithful. Does the right thing, and eventually he's put into a position in Daniel chapter 6 where it would say that King Darius fought to set him over the whole realm because he was a faithful steward of that which was not his own. Mary was a steward when the angel Gabriel came to her and said, this is God's plan for you, to bring forth a child as a virgin. He's going to be, you know, the Son of God. Imagine Mary might have just been like, Lord, I just want to have a normal life. I don't want to have one of those weird, extraordinary lives where all these crazy things are happening, you know. But Mary was a steward. She let God be the one in charge of her life, and she just she managed it according to God's plan. I think of an example. Some of you, a lot of us would know Finney Caravilla. And Finney Caravilla's job is to be a steward. His physical job is he manages investments for other people. And so their company would have $8 million in investments. But does Finney get to do whatever he wants with those investments? No, he has to be looking out for the best interests of the people whose money he is investing. His job is, he's seeking an end goal. He's seeking for them to make money, but also, in the case of their mutual fund, they do it a little differently. They seek to do good, to not invest in things that'll actually hurt people. He has what would be called a fiduciary responsibility. In other words, he has a legal responsibility not to act in his own interests, but to act in the interests of to whom that those funds belong to. The $8 billion isn't his own, even though he manages it. And I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about your life in that way. Think about all those things that God has entrusted to you. Think about your health. You know, if you got two strong legs to run around on, and you don't have too many physical problems, you know, that's something that a certain subset of the society would just, would love to have. They'd love to have that perfect health if you have that, or even if you have, semi-perfect health, the body that you've been given, that's a treasure from God. You wouldn't give $1 million if you knew that you were going to be paralyzed tomorrow. So just your health, your body, your purity is really valuable. The spiritual gifts that you've been given are really valuable. And so you add all these things up, all the things that you have that God has given you. And the Bible says you're not your own. You're bought with a price. That, all those things that you've been given, you're responsible for stewarding for God. God has entrusted it to you. In that parable, two of them took what they were given and did all they could to increase. And one of them didn't. What are we doing with possessions, time, your gifts, body? Who are we responsible for helping with these things? Maybe I should put a few of them on the board just so that we get a little thing to think about here, so that you can process some of them. Your possessions. Vehicles, real estate, business, toys, money, investments, sorry if you can't read this here, time, gifts, both spiritual and natural, relationships, health, and purity. And I'm sure there's a lot of other things that we could put on the list. But we've been given a lot, How are we stewarding them? You know, who are we responsible? We're responsible for God and for His glory. You're responsible for taking care of your own family. You know, 1 Timothy 5 would say, if you do not provide for your own, deny the faith, worse than an unbeliever. And in context, that's a lot about elderly widows in your own family. We're responsible for missions, for the gospel, for the poor. Responsible for your church family and for neighbors and society around you. Now, there's different circles of responsibility. You're not responsible equally to everyone. But overall, we're responsible for God and His glory. And we're responsible to look at everything on that list and everything that might be added to that list and say, am I using this as a steward? Am I using this in a way that, you know, when Jesus comes back, He'll say, yeah, well done. You used that in a good way. Well done. You used your vehicle in a good way. Well done. You used your time in a good way. Well done. You figured out your spiritual gifts and used them in a good way. We're not our own. How are we responsible for helping? What actually helps? I think one of the things I think of is that, you know, sometimes direct giving isn't always what helps the best. You know, Luke 16:3 would talk about the steward who was being taken away from his stewardship, and he said, I'm ashamed to beg. Sometimes you destroy someone's dignity doing that. I'm not saying always. We're responsible for building relationships, for caring about people. There's maybe even as we have a wealth of material things in our country, we have a lack of real relationships and real friendships. Investing our time and our relationships well is important. Through our giftedness, you know, spiritual gifts and natural gifts, you know, we're responsible for using them. We're responsible. I think one thing we should think about is we're responsible for giving, but it's not always giving what's asked for. Think about Josh and Audrey. When we support them, who are we really giving to? I don't think we're really supporting Josh and Audrey. We're supporting the people that they are going to communicate the gospel to. People that are going to read God's word in that new language. The people that are going to be discipled. And are those people even really asking for it? Could they pay for it? Well, depends on what country they go to. Maybe they could, maybe they couldn't. But whether they could or they couldn't pay for it, it's good for them, and they don't know it. You know, we're giving them what they need, not necessarily what they're asking for. You know, the Macedonian call, come over here and help us. It didn't say exactly what they wanted, but you know, Paul knew what they needed. You know, if we went to an African village, what would they ask for? You know, if he said, here I am, and what can we do to help you? You'd be like, oh, we are starving. We are, you know, we need food, we need a well, probably a tractor. Definitely money would help. U.S. dollars are fine, too. What do they really need? Like, I'm sure there's no circumstances where that's what's needed. But in general, they really need God's word. They need discipleship. And they need a born-again experience. They need to be transformed from darkness to light. What would the results of that be? Maybe the result would be quitting drinking. You know, quit sleeping around, quit some immorality, maybe developing a good work ethic, maybe looking for solutions on their own rather than blaming the spirits for bad things happening. And I think likely the result would be spiritual and economic prosperity. And what if we had given just what they asked for and gave them a tractor? And then they're like, man, we've got ourselves a tractor. We're in good shape. We drive that tractor. They're like, money's going to come rolling in with this tractor, so we don't need to save a whole lot. And we can buy more alcohol and, oh, the axle broke. Well, I guess that's going to be an ornament out in that field because there's no way to fix it. Think about the stewardship, our stewardship of the gospel message. We possess, if you're born again and you know what the message of the gospel is, the gospel, the power of God unto salvation to whosoever believes. That's a valuable thing that you're holding, is it not? Imagine holding a bucket of wheat seed in a and it's springtime and it's seed time and the rain's just right. And it's like, I don't think I'm going to plant that because that seems like a lot of work and I'd rather just keep it myself. You know, I'll just eat this wheat. I'll save it till another time. Is that being a steward? You know, Daniel Kennison used to tell us talk about how they would call springtime in that culture, they would call it hunger season because they would sow their grain even though they really wanted to eat it. But they knew that they needed a crop at the end of the year. You know, and the Psalms would say, you know, he who goes forth weeping, sowing precious seed, shall surely come again rejoicing, bringing his shears with him. You know, sowing, giving away what you could consume otherwise, what you could hold back. You know, we have that gospel message. Are we stewarding it? Are we sharing it the way God would have us? You know, in the book of Kings, the lepers who, their city was besieged and they sat on the wall and they said, let's go surrender. They went out and they realized that the Lord had scared away the Syrians and they're like, man, there's all kinds of food here we haven't eaten in months. And they got thinking about it and they're like, hey, this is the day of good news. We can't just eat it to ourselves. So they told the whole city. They weren't selfish. They didn't hide it under a bushel. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Stewardship of your spiritual gifts. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 7 through 11. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Each of you has received that gift. You know, the master has come and said, here, this is for you. You know, I'm going away on a journey and I'll come back. What is your spiritual gift? You know, do you know? Have you considered? Have you thought? Have you prayed? Have you said, God, what am I put on earth here for? Like, what is my purpose to build up the body of Christ? What is my gift? Do you know? Will you find out? Will you use them as that passage says? Minister it to one another, whatever it is, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Turn to Titus chapter 1, verse 7. Titus chapter 1, verse 7. Stewardship of the people whom God has entrusted you with. God has put people in your life that you are spiritually responsible for. Maybe it's a younger sibling. Maybe it's someone you work with. I don't know who it is. It's probably more than one person, but it's at least one person for everybody. Titus 1, verse 7. This is talking about a bishop, but I think you should apply it to yourself with whatever, however big or small of a responsibility you have. You have people that are looking to you. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money. He is called to be a steward of God, to steward what God has given, to take care of the people whom God has put in his realm of influence. Stewardship of our natural gifts. What are your natural abilities, your skills, things that you can serve other people naturally in the natural realm? You know, will you figure out what they are? Will you develop those skills and abilities? Will you make yourself more fit to serve your fellow men who were created by God with those natural gifts? You know, children, this is why your parents think school is important. You know, do you want to grow up to be an adult that is useless and no help to anybody else? I mean, because if you don't learn stuff in school, if you don't learn, doesn't have to be in school technically, but if you don't learn stuff, you're not going to be able to serve others. You know, you want to develop those things so that you can serve others well. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. How are we stewarding our time? Verse 11 of chapter 13. And do this, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Will we wake up? Will we allocate our time well? Will we... If you were a steward, if you worked for an employer and your job was to make the best use of your time, I think you probably could. But we are at God's command. He is employing us as stewards. And He asks us to manage our time well. Will you lead your life or accept your life? Will you be intentional about how you use your time for God's glory? Stewardship of our money, consuming, giving, investing. I think I'd like us to think about it as the same thing. I think oftentimes we think of giving and investing as two separate categories and consuming as a third category. But what if we looked at them as all the same and said, whether we consume something or give or invest, are we doing it to give, invest, consume to the glory of God? You know, Would you take a bottle of liquor and consume it and provide it or provide it for your family to consume? Would you bring that alcohol home? No. Would you invest in a liquor company? You know? No. Would you give money to somebody that you reasonably supposed would use it to consume liquor? I think none of those would be done to the glory of God. Like, we have to think, you know, where, you know, is this going to be a good steward of what God has given us? When you give, it should be the same type of thing as investing or working for someone, except it's a situation kind of like we talked about on the mission field with Josh and Audrey. The person cannot afford something that's a genuine need, or the person doesn't see value in something that is a genuine need. In Acts 20:35, we don't need to turn there, the book of Acts quoted Jesus saying, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's okay to err on the side of being generous. God wants to change us into generous people. That's why He asks us to give. He could probably feed hungry people with manna from heaven. I think He's done that before. But God wants to change us into generous people. I think we should consider that stewardship says that I may not be the one who receives the recognition for what I'm doing. You know, David prepared the materials for the temple, but he wasn't the one who got to dedicate the temple. That didn't happen till Solomon. You know, who knows? Hopefully Joshua will get a church planted and the Bible there. But there's a lot of missionaries who have gone, invested their life, and they died, and it was the next missionary that saw the amazing things that God did. We need to be okay as a steward, knowing that we're doing it for God's glory, and we may not see the end result. We're not our own. We were bought with a price. We are God's stewards. Let's be encouraged to act as stewards and use everything under our influence, possessions, everything we have, to glorify God and to serve well the fellow man. I think if we have that attitude, we'll understand how to handle our possessions. And if we don't have that attitude, we're out of line with God. Let's pray. Father, we just ask that You would help us to walk through these situations. Help us to understand Your will. Help us to choose to be a steward, even when there's temptations to act selfishly for our own best interests. God, I just pray that You would guide us to steward Your resources for Your glory and for the good of those You've created. Help us to walk with You. In Jesus' name, amen.